Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. There is no product that we have promoted more on Fightful that I use while I'm awake than NordVPN.com/Fightful. You guys have probably seen me anchored to my desk an awful lot for quite a while, and I've always got NordVPN on all my devices. That's because that's what NordVPN.com/Fightful allows. You get the fastest VPN in the world on all your devices, on all your operating systems. It is so beneficial to have that versatility. Here at home, I put it on my router just in case, and I put it on my phone, laptop, desktop, PC, and smart TV. That allows you to get all the benefits. The online threat protection, the ability to change your virtual location with just one click, the ability to use that NordPass password manager, the file encryption tool, all that good stuff on everything. Also, you can subscribe to all those overseas services I'm telling you all about, all with 24/7 tech support and a 30-day money-back guarantee on top of an already amazing deal. Protect yourself on all your devices with NordVPN.com/Fightful. What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp. Welcome to Fightful. Here with a name you know. Man, where don't you know him from? He's a regular in CMLL. He works for AEW New Japan in a VP role. He's going to be at New Japan Strong Resurgence May 11th in Ontario, California, as he, Tomohiro Ishii, and DKC take on the House of Torture. We got Rocky Romero. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. I know it's been a while since we've chatted, so this is nice.
It has. My first question is, when are you going to get a job?
Yeah, you know, I've been meaning to do that, you know, for a while.
You can only mooch off the government for so long. Like, you, right. You need to get a job. Very interested to learn, like, what is a day in the life of Rocky Romero like? Because any weekend it's going to be different, any Wednesday it's going to be different, but like a day like this, you had time to speak with me.
Yeah, I mean, today I've got an interview with you, and then I've got a couple of phone calls to catch up with all over varying things. You know, some of it's like talent, some of it is catching up with talent's representation, some of it is catching up with New Japan stuff, some of it is catching up with AEW stuff, and then I get to catch a flight to Edmonton, and then I will stay in Edmonton for the evening. Tomorrow we'll shoot AEW Dynamite, and then back home on Thursday. Friday we've got a press conference and a meet and greet. We're doing the vice president and the president doing a meet and greet. So myself and Tanahashi doing a meet and greet on Friday, and then Saturday's Resurgence, and then Sunday I hope to have a day off, kind of, and then it'll start all back up. Yeah. I mean, honestly, it's just a 24/7 job, and especially with Japan. So, you know, so even if I finish stuff with AEW and get off the phone with Tony or whoever, then I, you know, then Japan is just their morning starts, and then it's just all over again, you know. So it's demanding, but, you know, I'm happy, really happy with everything that I'm doing, and I'm happy, you know, with both products. I mean, I think AEW is, you know, kicking butt, and New Japan of America is kicking butt. You know, with Windy City Riot was huge, and just trying to build off the momentum going into Resurgence this Saturday.
And like, even before you were officially announced for your AEW role, I remember I would be at like scrums and I would look over my right shoulder and there you are in the room. So you were around quite a bit before that. Was it just sort of an informal role, and how often were you around?
Quite a bit. Yeah. Not as much as I am now, because now I'm pretty much at every TV I can possibly make, unless I'm in Mexico or if I have, you know, something to do with New Japan. But yeah, I was around quite a bit. And, you know, obviously the relationship between AEW and New Japan is strong and it's tight. And, so there's always something to do, or, you know, or Tony would be, you know, saying, hey, you know, can we get this person in? Can we get that person in? When can we get this person in? And then building toward Forbidden Door is always just a juggling act, you know, because there's just so much going on. And New Japan's got a huge show in Dominion, which is right in the beginning of June. But also the last week of May is a Double or Nothing. So there's just constant stuff going on. So, and just trying to balance it all. But it's great.
How do you feel being the human embodiment of the Forbidden Door? Like, it's a thing that was joked about originally, and now it's just like, no, he is, and it's not even like a secret that you are. Right. You are.
Honestly, I mean, I'm just happy to, you know, honestly, just to keep the relationship going strong. And obviously, I think there's benefits on both sides, and, you know, getting talent over to New Japan, you know, from AEW, and especially talent that, you know, maybe doesn't have the TV time or the development that they can get in AEW right now, just mm-hmm. because there's, you know, just the way the schedule is, getting them to New Japan, as well as, you know, bringing New Japan stars to AEW and getting them on national TV. So, yeah, man, I'm really happy. Forbidden Door, both shows have, you know, were major successes. This year will be another major success. And yeah, I love it. And, you know, this is what I always dreamed of like professional wrestling, just being open as much as it possibly can, you know, and doing cool dream matches and doing cool angles and cool creative stuff that we can do. And just, you know, bringing it all together. You know, there's no reason why fans, you know, really the fans win in the end. That's really what it's all about, you know.
A lot of people have been asking if we think that Forbidden Door will expand as opposed to just New Japan and AEW to, you know, CMLL or even TNA or something like that. And I know an important aspect of that is a lot of the production costs are shared, the talent costs are shared, a lot of that stuff. And there's a lot more that goes into it than just slapping logos up there, because I think you and I have even talked about some New Japan shows where you could call it Forbidden Door because there's MLW talent and TNA talent and AAA or CMLL talent. They're already all over it, but there's a lot more that goes into it than that. Do you think that will ever happen to where it expands? Or do you think if that happens, it would be something completely of its own?
Well, I think the Forbidden Door concept embodies that, right? Like, it means anybody from anywhere could show up, you know. Yeah. But it'll always stay as a New Japan and AEW official promoted show, both companies together, and then using those resources and their connections, bringing in other promotions like Stardom. Stardom will definitely be a part of Forbidden Door this year. And it's very likely that CML will be have participation in Forbidden Door. And then who knows? I mean, the sky's the limit, you know?
And I mean, I think that's a thing that a lot of people have wanted to hear, because I remember, like, maybe last year, the year before, people were like, well, why no Stardom talent, etc. Tony has not made it a secret that sometimes there was a contentious relationship there. That has seemed to have changed now. I mean, the olive branch has been extended. We have seen that as well. And I mean, AEW and New Japan once had a contentious relationship, if people
for
don't
sure.
don't
that's
forget.
That's why it's called the Forbidden Door, you know, because yeah. In the early days of AEW, you know, there was some stuff that needed to be hashed out between both companies. And, you know, Jericho was influential in kind of getting that started. And then, of course, Mox came in. And did the same thing as Jericho. Kenny Omega was another person that had you know, a lot to say in helping the relationship. And then, you know, when Tony and I finally sat down and, you know, we talked and kind of cleared the air, I went back to New Japan and told them about our meeting. You know, the doors were open, and you know, the Forbidden Door concept started.
And I mean, it's been an incredible success, but AEW also like announced their pay-per-view schedule like months and months ahead this time, which, you know, I like for personal convenience. How do you feel about them doing that? Because things are different on that front too, with Koshy Irby, also a new director of live events and things like that. There have been some changes there.
Yeah, Koshy has been killing it. You know, I think the team is really on. And, you know, they've made some changes and to the schedule. Putting out the pay-per-view schedule is this early is incredible, you know, because it like it gives the fans a chance to travel, you know, which is expensive, as we know. And, you know, it gives them the opportunity to kind of plan their year to see, you know, what events they want to go to. And, you know, with that, even New Japan has been trying to announce their big shows in America early as well. So, you know, after this, this Saturday in Ontario with Surgeons, we're back in Washington, D.C. in August, I believe August 30th. And then we've got another show that we're going to announce this Saturday, which is going to be cool. So, yeah. So,
okay,
got a big announcement coming this Saturday. Yeah.
And I mean, you even look at this show, and Mustafa Ali is on this show. He is in TNA right now, although he's not signed there. You've got people like Lance Archer, who in AEW, like you've got people from all over the place. In addition to all the great New Japan talent, Jack Perry, a guy who you're going to be in the ring with as well. Like you see that cohesion there. When you look at the match specifically that you're going to be in, you're opposite Jack Perry, as I mentioned. I just think that the way that things have unfolded for him the last month have been just really great. Like, in my opinion, I know a lot of people won't agree. I think the direction of him reinforces that the decision to air the footage was a good one, because I think it helped contribute to the heat that he got in Chicago, the reaction he got when he returned, and then the heat that he's getting now. How have you felt about him in New Japan? Because that wasn't a thing that a lot of people were expecting, or anybody expecting.
Right. When I had conversations with both Jack, I had conversations with the Bucks, I had conversations with Tony, obviously, and kind of all in agreement that it would be the right decision for Jack to come to New Japan. And kind of, but you know, because I think a lot of people wanted to see where Jack was going to be, what kind of reaction he was going to get. And, you know, obviously it was a great opportunity to have Jack in New Japan. He's a phenomenal talent. And I like the role that he was in with House of Torture. You know, obviously being heels, it's easy for Jack to you know, to be a heel. You know, he's great at it. And and then that'll open the door for when he comes back, because people were excited now for him to come back to AEW. And the week that the footage aired was also the same week as Windy City Riot, which kind of just really pushed the promotional aspect for Windy City Riot over the, you know, over the top. So the heat for him in Chicago was nuts. It was one of the coolest moments. Yeah, it was one of the coolest moments I think we've ever had here in New Japan of America. So overall, I was just really happy, and I thought it was a win for both companies, and obviously a big win for Jack. And yeah, it's good to have him back on the New Japan side as well.
On AEW TV, we saw Trent's change in attitude, which I think is, you know, a big step for him. And you sort of on-screen distance yourself from him in that regard. And you guys have had this thing where occasionally you'll go back to it. And he's had Chuck as a tag team partner. Well, they kind of put out there, Chuck's done for the foreseeable future. They don't know if he's ever going to be able to wrestle again. What was your reaction to hearing that? Because, I mean, this is a guy who... I'll tell you a funny story about Chuck or Chuck Taylor. I was watching, I think it was one of the parking lot fights with a WWE higher up, and they loved Chuck Taylor. They said, and I quote, "He wrestles like someone told him he sucks at wrestling right before he walked out, and he's proving them wrong." They're like, he's so angry when he wrestles. And they loved him. He'll just throw people up and dump them down, and he's got this grimace on his face. And I was like, your reaction to that, because that's so unfortunate, because man, he's been so good it for is. So long.
He's been good for so long, and I feel like you know, like some of my favorite work that he's done was when he was in PWG. And, you know, and I feel like, you know, we we never really got to, I mean, obviously like the parking lot brawls that the best friends have done have been pretty iconic in AEW. But yeah, it's just unfortunate to not see Chuck be able to do even more, you know? And I don't know if we ever will, you know, I really don't know. So, it's a pretty crappy, you know, situation overall. And, but I'm happy for Trent that he's getting his opportunity to show out. And I feel like he's better as a heel and he's more comfortable as a heel. And so far, I mean, I think it's been great. And the reaction that he got even last week when we were in Winnipeg was pretty amazing.
Yeah,
the boos that he got, and so I think, you know, it's a good opportunity. I mean, Trent's such a good wrestler, so it's gonna be cool to see where he can go with this and how far he can go. But I don't think I'll be involved. I don't think I'll be involved.
And that's fair. That's fair. I mean, yeah. natural evolutions, and then those are also story points down the line as well, like that you can play off of, because AEW is very good at playing off of the history of that stuff. As I look at your cage match right now, since January, you have had matches in AEW, New Japan, ROH, MLW, CMLL. I always like to look at stuff like that and be like, where has Rocky been? Where all has he been?
It's really, where have I not been?
where have you not been? I'll tell you where you have not been. There's not been a Talkin' Shop of Mania in quite some time. What do you think the odds of us ever seeing one again? Because Carl would always be like, never. Like he would tell me, he says, never, hopefully. I hope they pay me till I'm 80. That's what he says.
That's pretty good. I love the concept.
Have you guys seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt, staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix it with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike the other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade, has hundreds of 5-star reviews. I love the taste of this. I love the way that I feel after drinking it. I've never felt better. My digestion is smoother, body looks leaner, I have energy all day. I just feel younger. And the flavor is so much better than other green drinks. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/Fightful for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Every purchase is packed with a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, boosts of energy, and overall a healthier body, go to roundhouseprovisions.com/Fightful today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Of Talking Shop of Mania, I would love to bring it back and do it. I mean, obviously, like, it'd be so hard to do it right now because it's so demanding to put together, because it's just the three of us putting this whole thing together. And even how crappy it is, it's hard. It's really difficult. So, like, I don't think anybody's in any rush to try to go and do one. But yeah, I would love to see one just because I'm a fan of it, because you get to be creative in a different way. You know, it's not the standard wrestling. There's no rules, you know. So for me, as a creative, it's like we can do whatever we want, you know, and that's fun, you know, to be your own boss and do what you think is funny. And hopefully the fans think it's funny, too. And the good thing is, I feel like it was always a big success because obviously people in the know, you know, yourself and, you know, wrestling media and wrestlers, they loved it the most because it's so inside, right? Like there's a lot of inside jokes and there's a lot of like stuff that you would only get if you're, you know, a massive wrestling fan who follows it like we do. Then, you know, so I think it's just the concept is cool. It's different. And I would love to see it come back one day. But I also don't hope that those guys don't, you know,
Yes.
Don't get let go.
I love the idea of the human forbidden door calling in favors. Like, we need, for Talking Shopomania, we need a Stang really bad. Who can we guess? I just love that. Like, because they know that you know everybody at this point. Right. So. Right.
I have to separate the two too, kind of compartmentalize it and be like, hey, this is just kind of a personal favorite. This has nothing to do with AEW or New Japan or anything like that. So,
A reader question that we have: how many actual contracts do you have right now? Because I know that one, employment can be different, contracts can be different. How many contracts does a Rocky Romero have right now?
I've got a few.
Really? Yeah. I love it. I love it.
I've got a few. Yeah, I do have a few. Yeah, I'm signed with New Japan and AEW. And obviously, like, I'm signed with AEW as a wrestler in a wrestling role. I'm also signed as a backstage role.
Man, that's fantastic. Yeah. Like, you're just going to drop one. You're like, I'm actually still signed to UPW. Nobody just knows it. Nobody knows it.
And I'm signed to Talking Shop. Most important.
There you go. Well, like anybody who had those Lucha Underground contracts, if you remember those, they signed people to like 7-year deals.
Yeah. Signed one.
Really?
I was going back and forth with them. At this point, I don't think I was contracted to New Japan or was about to resign maybe, or was like in some kind of lull. Through my TV agent, I got this call to go to an audition. And when I got sent the paperwork, it was like, oh, this is a wrestling show. And I was like, oh, this is Lucha Underground. So then I went to the audition and I sat down with Chris Joseph and I auditioned and he was like, He really loved my audition. Like I did a monologue and it was cool. It wasn't like very wrestling related. And so he came back and he came back, you know, like probably within 24 hours, he came back. He's like, I tried out for Dario Cueto is what I
actually. Oh, wow.
Yeah. So then he came back and he's like, I have this whole concept that I wrote last night. He's like, I was really excited about your audition. And he's like, we're going to build the temple for the first, you know, we're going to build the temple and you're basically going to be around the temple. So you're going to be in the background of all the shots. You're going to basically be the janitor of the temple. So I was going to be the janitor. I was going to be like always listening to like what's going on. And then the big reveal was going to be in the second season that my family owned the temple and Dario had taken the temple away from my family. So then I was going to end up like feuding with Dario and his minions in the end, which would allow us to change the whole concept. So
that sounds fantastic.
It would have been good.
Damn. I mean, like, I thought the first season of Lucha Underground was as fun pro wrestling TV as I had seen. It was so different. It's one of the rare times they could get away with like the hidden camera thing where you didn't know it was there, because this was it was a pro wrestling show as opposed to how most wrestling is a show about pro wrestling type of thing.
Right. Right.
I thought it was so good, man. So that almost happened. You almost got locked in one of those deals.
Yeah. But that was the problem. There was the contract was that, and you know, good thing I have a good agent when, and they were going back and forth and they were like, if you sign this thing, you're like kind of screwed for the next 7 years. So I was like, all right, well, let's not do it.
I remember like Ivelisse and a couple of people talking to me about how much of a pain in the ass it was, because they were signed for a certain number of seasons. And then what they would do is they would just go a year and a half between seasons and you would still be locked down. It was a big pain in the ass. Right. Man, that is just wild. I had never heard that story. So
yeah.
Yeah. I'd like Tony to get that library. That's a library I want him to
get. Yeah. Especially Swerve now and all these talents that are there, the Lucha Bros. So, I mean, that's actually a good idea. Yeah, that's a great idea.
I think that'd be kind of fun. Because, I mean, I don't see WWE being in the library acquisition mode anymore. I think they did that just to launch the network. And now they're very smart because they're licensing out all the individual parts of the network for different things. And Tony just seems like a guy who'd be like, yeah, I just want it.
Yeah. I mean, it was good. It's good to have that he has the ROH library because there's so much history there, you know. to build off of. And, you know, you need all that stuff is important when you're building packages and stories. And, you know, there's a lot of history from a lot of folks. So, you know, it's good to be able to dig into that and show the fans like where it all started and the journey. Right.
So we have New Japan Resurgence this weekend. Man, this card looks really good. You got Moxley and Shota, which incredible amounts of history there. When I talked to John Moxley a few years ago, he's like, yeah, hope he can drag me to a decent match one day, like talking about when he's really, really old. Well, now here we are. I think it's 4 years after we had that interview. They've got a big title match. You've got Eddie Kingston and Gabe Kidd. It's so funny because people are like, who do you think is the next Ospreay, the next AJ Styles, the next English speaker out of New Japan to blow up? And I'm like, Gabe Kidd. The yeah, first time sure. I saw him, he promotes his matches like they're real fights. And I love that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's almost like a little mini Conor McGregor for us, you know, like in the fact of like he gets it and he knows what to say and everything that he says has value and worth. And it's also like spicy, you know, he's not afraid to speak his mind. And it's very it comes from a very, you know, real place for him. So and his passion and his emotion is amazing. So, yeah, I think he's the next breakthrough guy for New Japan. I mean, obviously, you've got guys who have already broken through like Zack Sabre. But I think that he is the next guy that really has the most potential for New Japan worldwide.
And also, I mean, I had mentioned earlier, Mustafa Ali is on the show taking on Lio Rush. That's one I personally can't wait for. Insane. Like, Lio Rush has done some incredible work over the years in New Japan. Zack Sabre Jr. against Tanahashi, Jeff Cobb, mm-hmm. Lance Archer, Shingo against Umaru. Like, this show is wild. And then Stephanie against Alex Windsor as well. Like, right. This is a loaded show.
Yeah, it's a super loaded show. I'm excited for Saturday. Obviously, I grew up maybe 20 miles from Ontario. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's a homecoming. I got like so much family. I have like 15 people coming at least. Maybe I'm sure it's going to increase to like 20, 25 at the end of this. So yeah, I'm excited. And, you know, tickets are going well. And, you know, so if you haven't bought a ticket or you want to watch it, you know, you don't miss it this Saturday. It's going to be another great show on the same level as Windy City Riot, or even better. I think it has the potential to blow Windy City Riot out of the water.
I'll tell you one of my favorite things about this show and the recently formed team of Fred Rosser and Tom Lawler, specifically because of the threats that Fred Rosser once made to Tom Lawler. What was your reaction to hearing that? Because that's a promo you never hear.
I was on the other side of the camera watching the promo. And literally everybody who was on the other side of the camera was like eyes wide open, like, okay. And then everybody looked at me like, are we doing that again? Or are we doing it? I was like, all right, we're going to put that in, but we're going to figure out how we can make this work because that was insanity. But yeah, I mean, it was just a great promo and the fact that it took their rivalry to another level again, you know? So, yes. And that was my favorite rivalry all through when we were taping Strong and doing the weekly show. Obviously, the whole show was really built around that rivalry. And I thought it's still one of my favorites. So to see them team now and, you know, the breakup of Team Filthy versus West Coast. I mean, I think they're just kind of strong originals, you know, if you want to call them. And it's just cool to see the evolution of that history.
I mean, I think there is no better endorsement of what Strong was and its value than Fred Rosser, because I remember in Chicago 2019, I think it was 2019. I did an interview with him. And I remember asking him, are you ever going to wrestle again? Are you retired? What's going on with you? And he was adamant. He's like, I'm not retired. I'm going to wrestle again. I'm waiting for the right opportunity. And I remember some of the comments were like, yeah, okay, buddy. Like eye roll stuff at him who had been a WWE guy. And he had said, you know, I pitched myself to AEW. They didn't want me. There were a lot of like really derogatory comments. Then he steps over into New Japan Strong. And he completely reinvented himself. And he is indispensable at this point.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. He's also a coach at the NJPW Academy. And, you know, I think he's just been such an important piece of the puzzle for New Japan of America. And he's such a great representative in general because he's a good person and he's a humble person. And, you know, he his work outside of wrestling, you know, talking about, you know, his story and how he's been bullied, you know, during his life and just motivating kids. And I don't know, he's just a great guy overall and such great representative for the company. So I feel like he'll always be involved as long as he wants to be with New Japan for sure.
You know, we see WWE, I think they're doing a very smart method. They're doing a lot of their basic quote unquote PLEs internationally, the big ones here in stadiums and stuff like that. Are there any international markets that you personally, as such a well-traveled guy, look at and you're like, man, I would love AEW specifically to do that? I know that's a massive undertaking, but for sure. Are there ones that you look at and you think, well, I think they would do really well there immediately?
I think, you know, AEW obviously has huge potential to do an event along with New Japan in Japan. I think that's kind of the easy one. That's a big one, you know, because, you know, really, like for Forbidden Door, New Japan uses AEW's infrastructure. And, you know, when you go, if AEW was to come to Japan, it would just be, you know, vice versa, you know, reversed, where they could use New Japan's infrastructure to do a big event in a stadium or, you know, Budokan or wherever they want to do it. So, but I think AEW has potential. Obviously the UK is a massive market, and we'll see that with Wembley again this year. But there's, I do feel like there's an opportunity to do some smaller, you know, some smaller arenas and do, you know, more stuff around the country because they've got a great infrastructure there as well, you know, with Fulham. So, as well as, you know, Australia would be a great place. Mexico would be a great place now that they have partnership with CMLL. You know, they imagine AEW in Arena Mexico or, you know, or having the infrastructure for CMLL to help them, you know. So I think that that's what, you know, strategically a lot of these partnerships are all about is how can we help each other, you know, to do these type of events all over the world. You know, I mean, and AEW, you know, it's always trying to help New Japan as well, you know, like, you know, some of that we share some of the same production people that work on both sides. So, there, you know, there's a lot of Forbidden Door elements that are not just the stuff that you see in the matches, you know, on both sides.
I badly want to see Will Ospreay win the international title. And then like 3 days later, I would love to see him pop up in Uganda and defend it at Soft Ground Ugandan Wrestling.
I feel like it's going to happen. We're, you know, the contract might be in the mail. You know, I'm
like I think they are just such like the essence of pro wrestling passion. Those kids, like it is. It's cool. I love what like Mason Mansoor are doing for them, like raising money for them as well. But I could just see like, you know, the Lord White villain or whatever it is. And then you pan over and there's Will Ospreay in his wrestling gear with the international title. And then he puts on a banger with a kid in Uganda. Like, and that's the beauty of where we are in pro wrestling right now, man.
It's pretty cool. Yeah. It's definitely different than it's ever been. And it's like you said, it's the power of professional wrestling and it's just reached so many people. And I never even thought wrestling would ever be a thing with Ugandan kids. You know, I mean, this is pretty crazy. It's just the, you know, the power of the internet, powerful, you know, how powerful it really is. And I don't know. I love it. It's just really cool. It's just really cool.
It's fantastic.
I might try to get myself booked there.
Oh my gosh. I'm sure they're handing
out contracts.
I know that's the thing. We're going to then the next thing you know, they're popping up in CMLL and they got their visas. Like they're good to go. I love it. New Japan Resurgence this Saturday, guys, check it out. It is a loaded card. It is insane. Matches I didn't even mention, TMDK against Phantasma and Hikuleo. My gosh, Vandegrift versus Quest as well. Tsuji and Naito against Kenta and David Finlay. An insane show. Rocky Romero, I want to thank you so much for joining us.
No, thanks for having me. It's always great to be back on Fightful and talking to you, Sean.
Indeed. Until next time, guys, we're out.